Welcome to Mount Olive First Pentecostal Holiness Church. Thank you for connecting with us. In just a moment, Pastor Jeff will be sharing an uplifting and encouraging message that we pray will inspire you in your walk with God. Our desire at MOF PHC is for you and your family to find hope in Jesus Christ so that He will transform your life. Thanks again for connecting with us. Please contact us if we can help you discover God's purpose for your life. Enjoy the message.
Well, thank you again for being here on this beautiful Sunday morning, this special Sunday. It's special for a lot of reasons, but it's very special to us as a church because this is Pentecost Sunday. Pentecost Sunday, when we celebrate the birth of the church and the coming of the Holy Spirit, and we're going to talk more about that. I want to share with you, really just starting today and over the next few weeks, as the Lord leads me, to talk to you about the person of the Holy Spirit, and take some time during each week on Sunday, Wednesdays, to talk about the person and the power of the Holy Spirit. I want you to hear me on this now. I really believe that the Lord is reminding us that it's His will that we walk a Spirit-filled life. Come on, church. I believe it is God's reminding us. He's put this on my heart to remind us that His will is for us, all of us, the body of Christ, to walk and live a Spirit-filled life through the person and the power of the Holy Spirit. And feel like how appropriate that would be to share how we need to be Spirit-filled on this Sunday, which is Pentecost Sunday. So what does Pentecost, you may ask, and the Holy Spirit, what's the connection there? Well, I'm glad you asked. Let me just give you a little bit of information here before we really get into the meat of the message. If you're taking some notes, it's good to write this down because so many people think a lot of different things when you hear the word Pentecost, but the word Pentecost actually means 50. Say 50. Pentecost, that word, means 50. And the reason it means 50 is because on the Jewish calendar, every year on the Jewish calendar, the Jews would celebrate this festival called Pentecost, and the reason it's called 50 is because it always fell 50 days after the Passover celebration. You remember Passover when God delivered His people out of Egypt, when they took the blood of the lamb and put it over the doorpost of their home, and the death angel passed over their home, and they were required to celebrate that festival. Well, every year, 50 days after they celebrated the Passover festival, they celebrated the Pentecost festival as well. But when you read in the Bible, in Acts chapter 2, this Pentecost that you read about in Acts chapter 2 would be different than all the Pentecost festivals they had ever had before, because in Acts chapter 2, on this Pentecost, this is when the Holy Spirit came down in power and filled the early followers of Christ, and that is when the church was birthed. And we find that history all the way back, this is Pentecost Sunday today, all the way back into Acts chapter 2. And I want to read to you Acts chapter 2, just these four verses, Acts 2 verses 1 through 4. If you have your Bible, follow along with me, please. And so listen to what the Word of God says. When the day of Pentecost came, remember this is a festival 50 days after the Passover celebration, they were all there, very festive time. They were all together in one place, talking about they being the followers of Christ. And suddenly a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. And they saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. And all of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. That was the Pentecost, when the Holy Spirit came upon his people and the church was birthed. And they were filled with the Spirit of God. And I want to just tell you today that as your pastor, please hear my heart. It is my burden that every one of you that are followers of Jesus Christ, it is my burden that you would walk a Spirit-filled life. Every one of you, I don't care how you were raised, I don't care what your background may be with church or whatever, because this gift of the Holy Spirit, of being filled with the Holy Spirit, is for all people. And it is my burden for every single one of us to walk a Spirit-filled life. Listen to me, please listen. If the early church needed to be filled with the Holy Spirit to carry out God's will and to carry out God's work, we need that same filling now. Come on, if they needed it then, we need it now. We need it. They needed it then in a very dark and difficult culture, and we need the same power working in us and through us in a very dark and difficult culture that we live in. In fact, in my opinion, we need the Holy Spirit more than ever. We need his filling in our life. We should be desperate for this infilling of the Holy Spirit, this empowering work of the Holy Spirit. We should be desperate for it. We should be hungry for it, because without it, we can do nothing. In fact, I want to share with you two quotes from two very great men of God from years past. One named Charles Spurgeon, a great preacher. Some of you have maybe read some of his books. But Charles Spurgeon, listen to what he said about the Holy Spirit. Charles Spurgeon said that without the Holy Spirit, we can do nothing. We are ships without the wind, branches without sap, and like coals without fire, we are useless. That was Charles Spurgeon. Samuel Chadwick, another great man of God from years past, he said this about the Holy Spirit, referring to himself. He says, "I'm not good for anything unless I am filled with the Holy Spirit." And listen to me, church. Think about the way God used both of these men in such a powerful way throughout history. And they realized that without the Holy Spirit, they were useless. They realized that they were good for nothing unless they were filled with the Holy Spirit. And we need to realize that today in our life. We need to realize that in our walk with the Lord, that we're useless without the Holy Spirit. We can do nothing without the Holy Spirit. We need the Holy Spirit. We need him. So why do we need the Holy Spirit? And what does the Holy Spirit do for the church? Well, recently I was involved in a very deep Bible study just on the topic of learning more and growing more in fellowship with the Holy Spirit. And in that Bible study that I was involved in, I was reminded through some of the materials that were presented to me, some of the things that were shared, I was reminded why we need the Holy Spirit, and I was reminded what the Holy Spirit does for us, the church. So I want to just break down a few things. I want you to walk with me on this Bible study, and I want you to be encouraged, and I want you to be open to whatever it is the Holy Spirit wants to do in you and through you. First of all, I will tell you this. We need the Holy Spirit because he empowers us. We need the Holy Spirit because he empowers us. The disciples were there after with Jesus. Think about this. After he was resurrected, and Jesus is speaking to his disciples, and these are the questions they're asking Jesus. They're asking Jesus, "Have you come now to set up your kingdom and you're going to rule and reign as Messiah over Israel? Is this now the time?" And Jesus looks back to them and he tells them, "It's not for you to worry about times and dates." In other words, you don't need to be concerned about the prophetic calendar. What you need to be focused on is making sure you're filled with power. He says, yeah, there's going to be a time and day that nobody knows, only the Father knows, and you're asking these questions, and your focus is on times and dates when your focus should be on receiving the power of God. And he goes right into that, and he goes and he tells them, don't worry about the prophetic dates. And he says in Acts chapter 1, verse 8, he tells them this. He says, what you need is you need to receive power. When you receive this power, when the Holy Spirit comes on you, you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in all Judea, and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. Think about that. There is no way the early church could have carried out God's mission, turning their world upside down for Jesus without the power of the Holy Spirit working in them and through them. And I want to say to us as a church today that if they needed that power, we need that power. If they needed to be empowered then, we need to be empowered now. And the Holy Spirit will empower you. Every follower of Jesus Christ needs to be empowered. We need that power. We need to receive the Holy Spirit so we can share our faith boldly. We need to receive the Holy Spirit power so we can go, whether it be in a service or be in the street somewhere, so we can go and lay our hands on somebody and we can pray and believe and the sick will be healed. We need to receive the same power in our life that when we go out and preach the gospel and testify and witness, there's an anointing over our life that breaks through a hard heart. We need that empowering work right now, that when we pray and we come together, that we have a power at work in us, that when we call on the name of Jesus, that every work of darkness and every demon from hell will be pushed back off my family and off our community and off our life. Come on. And we need this power. We need it more than ever. More than ever we need it. We need the power of the Holy Spirit working in us and through us. And I would say right now, you know, I was thinking as I was praying about this message and just the way the Lord was stirring me even yesterday, I'm thinking, man, some of us need to turn that old song into a prayer. Oh, Lord, send the fire just now and baptize everyone. Some of you need to make that your prayer. Oh, Lord, send the power just now and baptize everyone. Some of you need to make that prayer right now. Lord, send the power just now and put some power back in my praise again. Send the power again and send me, God, to be able to stay focused on you and to persevere and to press on through every trial and tribulation that I have. God, send the power to help me do that. Send the power just now and baptize everyone. That ought to be our prayer. Help us, Lord. We need the Holy Spirit to empower us. Listen, we need it more than just today on Pentecost Sunday. We need the power every day. Amen. Yeah, we come in here and celebrate today. Today's Pentecost Sunday. But you know what? I need the Pentecost power not just today. I need it tonight. I need it tomorrow. I'm going to need it Tuesday. I need the power every day. You do too. It's not just a one time, a one Sunday thing. We need to be filled with the Holy Spirit every day, all day. Oh, Lord, send the power just now. If I knew all the words, I'd start singing, but then you might leave. I hear you, brother. In one accord. Amen. 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 Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. We need the Holy Spirit to empower us. And listen to this. We also need the Holy Spirit to interrupt us. We need the Holy Spirit to interrupt us. In Acts chapter 2, I just read to you, the Bible says that suddenly a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. Think about that. There was a sudden interruption while these followers of Christ were in that upper room. And when that sudden interruption came, the Bible says that the Holy Spirit sounded like the blowing of a mighty wind, a violent wind. In fact, if you back up later in the Gospel of John, Jesus actually refers to the Spirit of God as the wind and how the wind blows where it wishes and it goes where it likes to go and comes and goes how it pleases. And it reminds me that when the wind of the Holy Spirit blew into that upper room on the day of Pentecost, he suddenly interrupted their life. And the move of the Holy Spirit, listen to me, please. The movement of the Holy Spirit, the move of the Holy Spirit is not on some kind of scheduled timetable. All right, at 9:30, the Holy Spirit's going to begin to work. At 9 o'clock, when we kick off the service, the Holy Spirit, look, he's already working. He's not on some kind of scheduled timetable. We can't lock the Holy Spirit in some kind of box. We can't control the Holy Spirit. In fact, the Holy Spirit should be controlling us. All we can do is like they did, is that we can wait on him, and we need to be sensitive and surrendered to his interruptions. Sensitive and surrendered to his interruptions. We need to be sensitive and surrendered and allowing the Holy Spirit to interrupt us. I want to say this right now to everyone here. Stop ignoring the Holy Spirit's interruptions. Stop ignoring them. Stop ignoring the Holy Spirit's interruptions, whether it be in a corporate gathering, and stop ignoring it if it's privately in your life. Stop ignoring the Holy Spirit interruptions. I think we ignored him because nobody likes to be interrupted in their life. We don't like interruptions, but this is one interruption that we don't need to miss. When the Spirit of God is moving and he's trying to interrupt you or whatever, if it's in a church setting or a ministry setting, you need to be sensitive and surrendered and don't ignore what the Holy Spirit is wanting to do. We need to be ready for that interruption every day and all day. Let me just speak on my behalf at times. I can testify, maybe you can say amen, that we face this temptation to do things, to ignore him, to do things convenient and comfortable to our schedule. We ignore him because we don't want him to mess up our convenience. We ignore him because we don't want him to mess up how comfortable we feel. We just ignore him. And there's that temptation to move away from what he would want to do, his interruptions. And the early church, they resisted that temptation and they waited for the Holy Spirit's interruption. And because they were open to his interruptions, they were able to make Jesus known to the world. Because they were open to the Holy Spirit's interruptions, they walked in the power of God, experiencing the signs and wonders of God. God help us to be receptive to Holy Spirit interruptions. If we're going to walk in the power of God and Spirit-filled and experience more and more of the supernatural signs and wonders of God, we must be open to his interruptions, and we need to be open to him interrupting our lives, our schedules, our services, our plans. Your prayer should be, Lord, interrupt me and do it however you want to do it in my life. We need the Holy Spirit to interrupt us. We also need the Holy Spirit because he unites us. On that day that they had Pentecost that I read to you, the Holy Spirit came. It says they were all together in that upper room, that house, and the power of God was poured out. In fact, many scholars believe that there was a large group of people there. Men and women were in that room being filled with the Spirit of God. In fact, when Peter came out of that room after being filled with the power of the Holy Spirit, he declared to the people, and he says in Acts 2:17, he says this right here, in the last days, God says, I will pour out my Spirit on all people. You know why? Because the Holy Spirit, he unites us. All people, men and women, all races, all ages would receive the pouring out of the Holy Spirit. Praise God this morning that the Holy Spirit unites us. Praise God this morning that the Holy Spirit brings us together in the bonds of peace. Praise God this morning that the Holy Spirit breaks down all divisions. The Holy Spirit unites all races, all ages, all people, no matter the color, no matter the culture, no matter their social status. In fact, let me give you a little news flash. There is no white church. There is no black church. There is no brown church. There's one church, and it's the Lord Jesus Christ, His church, and we're all united through the blood of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The Holy Spirit unites us. He unites us. Listen, when Peter was filled with the Holy Spirit, next thing you know, this Jew was in the house of Cornelius, an Italian, leading him and his family to the Lord. Think about Paul, who was filled with the Spirit and went on missionary journeys and was winning Gentiles to the Lord. Think about Philip, filled with the Holy Spirit, and he's leading an Ethiopian man to the Lord. The Holy Spirit will unite us. And if the Holy Spirit is working in you and through you, you should be crossing all barriers, uniting with other followers of Christ, because the Holy Spirit, He unites us. We need the Holy Spirit, not only because He unites us, but He also propels us. He propels us. Now, if you back up to Luke 24, Jesus told His followers, you need to go to Jerusalem, and He tells them this right here. He says, stay in that city until you are clothed with power from high. But Jesus never intended for them to stay in that room. He told them to go there and wait. They were going to be clothed with power from on high. But listen to this. The Bible says that after they were filled with the Holy Spirit, they couldn't stay there. They couldn't stay there. They had the case of I can't help it. They had to come up out of that room. The fire of God, the power of God lit them, and they couldn't stay in that room. They couldn't stay there. They couldn't stay quiet. They couldn't stay still. They had to come out because the Holy Spirit was propelling them out of that place. Propelling them to go into all the world, Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. Think about that. Those earlier followers, the Holy Spirit filled them with power and propelled them out into a world, and they're winning people for Christ. They're baptizing them. They're speaking the name of Jesus, and people are being delivered from demonic bondages on their life. Strongholds are coming down. People are being set free. They're filled with the Spirit of God, and the Spirit has propelled them out, and they're laying hands on the sick, and they're being healed. Pentecost propelled these followers forward in an adventurous, Spirit-filled life, and the Holy Spirit will do the same thing for you today. Don't ever tell me that as a Christian that you are bored, that you know what, this is just a boring life of following Christ. If you're Spirit-filled, there's going to be an adventurous life that you're walking on, because the Spirit of God is going to propel you forward in an amazing work for God and for the glory of God. Don't you want to be a part of that work? Don't you want to be a, come on, please. Don't you want to be a part of that work where He's just propelling you out? It's God's will for you and for me to be empowered, to be interrupted, to be united, to be propelled. That is God's will, because the Holy Spirit is always moving on mission. He's always on mission. And the mission is always outward. Say outward. When you read about Pentecost, think about this. On the day of Pentecost in Acts chapter 2, everything that happened after Pentecost, the majority of it happened out in the community and not in a church building and not in a church house. Let me say that again. After Pentecost, almost every bit of ministry that took place happened outside in the community and not in some sort of building. God help us on this Pentecost Sunday to follow the model of the early church and let the Holy Spirit propel us outside this building to do ministry and to carry out God's mission. They did it then, we need to do it now. If you want the Holy Spirit to use you on the outside in our culture, in our community, if you want the Holy Spirit to propel you forward in an adventurous life, then you need to be willing to take three steps, and I'm done after these three steps right here. Write it down. The first step that you need to take is ask the Holy Spirit for his power. Ask him for his power. Think about this. After, on that day of Pentecost, the first evangelistic outreach took place as soon as they were filled with the Holy Spirit. And when they went out of sight of that upper room, the Bible says that Peter boldly preached the gospel and 3,000 people were saved. That's the same Peter that denied Christ, but now he's being empowered by the Spirit and he's preaching the gospel and 3,000 people are being saved. That happened as a result of Peter being in a room waiting on the Lord, seeking the Lord, asking to be clothed with power from high. And if we have ever needed to wait on the Lord and ask the Lord for his power, it's now. And that's what they did. They asked for that power. I think about what Jesus said in Luke 11:13. He says, if you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? To those who ask him. We need to be asking for the Holy Spirit and his power. The Bible says we have not because we ask not. And we need to ask more than one time. Ask again and again and again. I can tell you this past week in my prayer, I was asking again and again. I can tell you this morning before I came here, I was asking again and again and again for the Holy Spirit to empower me. We need to ask the Holy Spirit for his power. And we also, step two, we need to look for God opportunities. Look, Peter and John, when they came out of that place filled with the Spirit of God, they saw an opportunity with this crippled man who needed to be saved and he needed to be healed. And when they saw that opportunity, they ministered to him through the power of the Holy Spirit. And God worked there. And God took that opportunity to help one man. And the Bible says it actually touched many others around him. And I want to say this to you. There are God opportunities around you all day long. There are God opportunities around you all day long. They're all around you, and you need to pray, Lord, open my eyes. Help me to look. Help me to look and see what you're doing in front of me. If you have to interrupt my life, whatever you got to do, just open my eyes and don't let me miss this opportunity. There's opportunities, and I think we miss these opportunities sometimes. We miss them because of our schedules, because of the things that we're focused on. And I want to just tell you right now, just like the crippled man in Acts here, there are crippled people all around this church. Spiritually crippled, physically crippled. I mean, there's people that are crippled all around us by darkness, by sin. And God is putting them in your path so you have an opportunity to share God's love and to share his light with them. And I want to encourage you, please do me a favor. Please pray that God would help you to see those opportunities and do good while you can do good. Never get weary in doing good and be a blessing to people and do it all in the name of Jesus. Look for those opportunities. And then finally here, I want to tell you, not only do we ask for the Spirit's power and not only do we look for God opportunities, but we need to expect miracles. We need to expect miracles. After Pentecost, miracles took place in the streets. Listen, I know God does miracles here. I know God, we can pray around this altar. We can pray here in this service, anywhere in this building. But I'm telling you right now, after they were filled on Pentecost, you read in the Bible, I think it's around Acts chapter 5, it says that the people saw how God was working through the apostles, and it says that they were dragging the sick out into the streets. They drug them into the streets on mats and they put them in the street and said, we just hope even Peter's shadow will go by because if that happens, they'll be healed. We mean, they're expecting miracles. They're expecting miracles, and they walked with that expectancy in their life. And because they did, they saw the signs and wonders of God. And maybe one reason why we're not seeing that in our life, maybe one reason why we're missing miracles is because there's no expectancy. Maybe it's because we think that God has to do it inside of a church building for miracles to happen. Let me just tell you this right here. I want you to know this, that I believe God can do miracles in this building. But when I'm walking and I walk into a hospital room to visit somebody, I believe God can do a miracle in that hospital room. When I walk into somebody's home to visit with them and pray with them, I believe God can do a miracle right there in their home. If I'm at a restaurant with somebody and I'm praying with them, I believe God can do a miracle right there in that restaurant. I believe, listen, I've seen God do a miracle in a parking lot. It don't matter to me. I'm expecting God. Wherever I go, God can do a miracle. I'm expecting them, even over a telephone call. Hallelujah. Might can even do one through a text message. Hallelujah. I don't know about that. I just want to say this. Listen, please hear me. You don't have to drag somebody to church, to a building, or to a pastor. You can have an expectancy in your life, believing in the power of God, walking in a spirit-filled life. You can pray with people, and you can expect God to do a miracle right there where God gives you the opportunity. You need to pray and expect miracles and watch what God can do. Watch what God can do. There's some kids in this church that have more faith than we do. It's amazing how some of the stories I hear of children that are praying for certain things, and they're praying and expecting and believing what God's going to do. Hallelujah. We need a holy expectation. We need the power of the Holy Spirit. Can I just declare this to you? Our community does not need a popular church. They need a church with power. They need we need a church that's full of power, spirit-filled people that are hungry for the Spirit of God moving, that we don't have to be in a church building, that people are willing to go out and look for opportunities and expect miracles no matter where they are. We don't have to be in the building. We can be right here in the community, in the streets. It don't matter. We're going to see God do a mighty work. Amen. But it all happens as we receive the power of the Holy Spirit at work in our life. Pastor Kevin, brother, if you guys want to come, we're going to pray. And forgive me if I've felt or seemed to be rushed. I just want to give time here for us to pray. My prayer is that everyone connected to this church that is a follower of Jesus Christ, that you would live a spirit-filled life. Listen, you don't have to walk around dried up, boring. That's not what the Lord's intended for us to do, to just make, I'm just going to make it through until we can get to the other side. I'm just going to make it. No, I want to walk in the power of the Holy Spirit. I want to walk out in God's will, God's work. I want it to be an adventurous work. I want to see God work through me all for His glory. And I want to see the Lord do the same thing for you. And I can tell you this right now, He wants that for you. He wants you to be filled with the Holy Spirit. He wants you to be filled with His Spirit. How many of you believe that this morning? Amen. And the question is this right here. It comes down to, listen, there has to be some kind of transaction. There has to be some transformation right here. That you're going to be willing to say, you know what? Lord, I give you permission to take me spiritually somewhere I've never been before. Are you willing to give the Lord that permission? Lord, I'm giving you permission right now to take me deeper spiritually in my life than I've ever been before. Whatever it is that you want to do. I know there's more. They were saved, but there was more. He said, wait, because you're going to receive power from on high. And you're going to be filled with the Spirit or baptized in the Holy Spirit. Would you give permission this morning? Would you give permission this morning for the Holy Spirit to empower you? Would you give permission this morning for the Holy Spirit to interrupt you? Would you give permission this morning for the Holy Spirit to keep you united with the people around you? Would you give permission this morning for the Holy Spirit to propel you into an adventurous life, all for His glory, being used for Him and for His name's sake? Would you do that? Would you give permission? Would you make that your desire right now, that you would ask the Father? Jesus said, ask the Father. Ask Him and He will give you the Holy Spirit. And then you will be filled and your eyes will be opened and you will have an expectancy in your life for miracles to be done. That's what it means to be Spirit-filled, to live a Spirit-filled life. And I hope you have that desire now. And it all starts by just being born again. A Christian, are you saved and on your way to heaven? Make that decision right now to repent of your sins and to receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Have peace with God through Jesus Christ. He died for you on a cross. He shed His blood. He was resurrected on the third day. He's conquered the grave. He's conquered death. He ascended back into heaven. And He told His disciples, He says, it's good to you that I go away, because when I go away, I am sending to you the Comforter, the Helper, the Holy Spirit. And if you will ask, the Holy Spirit will fill you and give you the power you need to live and to walk in a way that will honor and glorify Me. And that's what God wants for you. Would you do me a favor? Would you stand right where you are right now? Just stand. This is not grab your pocketbook. This is not grab your whatever to get ready to walk out. This right here is about grabbing the Spirit of God and asking Him to fill you, to give Him permission to do whatever it is that He wants to do in your life. Here's how I want to just... You obey the Lord, but here we go. If there is anybody in here right now and you are hungry and thirsty spiritually for more of the Holy Spirit, you want a fresh move of the Spirit of God in you. The fire has kind of dwindled down and you are asking for the Spirit of God to come and fan that flame once again, to get it burning again so you can walk in power. Or maybe you've never received the filling of the Holy Spirit, the baptism with the Holy Spirit, and you want to give permission for the Lord to do whatever. I want you to do me a favor right now. If either one of those represent you, you have a desire, a willingness right now to give the Lord permission to do whatever He wants to do, come forward, come to the altar right now. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Obey the Lord, obey the Lord, obey the Lord, obey the Lord. If there's a stirring in you to want more of the Holy Spirit at work in you and through you, the power of God in you and through you, come find you a place around the altar right here. If you want to kneel down, you can. If you want to stand, you can. Whatever you need to do, but don't obey the Lord. Obey the Lord. Don't quench His interruption. Don't grieve His interruption. Hallelujah. 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 If there's prayer warriors that have not come to this altar yet, and you're here and you believe in the power of prayer, I would love for you to just kind of come through right now and just help pray with people, help pray over people. That'll be a blessing. That'll be a blessing. Father, right now, here's what I want you to do. Father, saying, just open your hands up to Him, just like this right here. Just open your hands like you're receiving a gift from God and just begin to ask the Father, Father, I'm asking you for the Holy Spirit to feel me right now, to feel me right now. Come on, church, feel me with power. Clothe me with power from on high right now. Lord, we pray, Lord, do it, Lord. Come, Holy Spirit, fill every heart, fill every life, God. God, help us, Lord. Help us, Lord. We're not looking to be a popular church. We want to be a powerful church, God. Spirit-filled, Lord. Fill us, oh, God. Make that your cry right now. Make that your cry right now. Oh, God, fan the flame. Where's the desire? Where's the hunger? Lord, stir it up in me. Stir it up in me, God. Do it in your people, God. Feel us. Feel us, God. Feel us, oh God. Feel my brother. Feel my sister. Feel them in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Father, we ask you for your Holy Spirit. We ask you for your Holy Spirit. Come on, church, pray. Feel me, Holy Spirit. Feel me. Feel me. Yes, God. Yes, God. Yes, God. Oh, Jesus. Hallelujah. 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 Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Come on, give him permission. Give him permission. Oh, we bless you, Lord. You have permission in my life, God. Empower me. Interrupt me. Unite me, God. Propel me, God. I give you permission to feel me right now, right now, right now. Hallelujah. Oh, Jesus. Oh, Jesus. Oh, Jesus. Why don't you sing this over yourself?